Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone with your questions or comments, dial 209-647-1600 and enter the access code 181610, followed by the pound key, which gets you into conference. Then press star 6 and then 1. If you're using Skype, press the free conference call button, then press the dial pad button and enter access code 181610 and press your pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. And if you're using Paltalk, you simply go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once inside the room, you can raise your hand, and when you're asked to, you can post your question. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Thank you. Good evening once again, everyone. And now at this time, we will open up the room to any questions or comments that anyone may have. Let's go to the first person on the phones. Welcome to eBible's Friday Night Question and Answer.
Our first question for Pal Talk tonight is, could you please check and read Amos chapter 8, verses 9 to 14? I'll let you read that first and then ask the question.
Amos 8, verse 9, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord Jehovah, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord Jehovah, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Jehovah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of Jehovah, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, in the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again."
Now, the questions are, being that verse 9 is talking about the sun going down, the phrase is, sun going down will darken the earth, and so on, and verse 10, the phrase, a bitter day shows, and then in verse 12, the verse, and shalt not find it. In other words, if people were being saved before May 21, wouldn't they be hearing it and finding it if they were truly saved? So would not the famine in verse 11 be a famine where no one could become saved? And would not verse 12 be talking about people all over the world, no matter who they are, they shall not find it? I'm asking if it is at all possible that Amos 8, verses 11 to 14, could be focused on Judgment Day.
Well, you see, there's certain details in here that appear to point to the judgment which began upon the churches, even though some of the language could apply to the judgment that we're in presently upon the world. Like, for instance, when it says, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. That is very similar language to what we read in the book of Lamentations, speaking of the virgins of Israel and the young men of Israel. And then verse 14 speaks of them that swear by the sin of Samaria and mentions Dan and Beersheba. And they're all references to Israel. And And so it's things like that seem to identify this passage with God's judgment on the church. And once you have that understanding, then when it says they shall wander from sea to sea and north to east and so forth, that is referring to the boundaries of the corporate churches. Like, for instance, when people would go from Methodist to Episcopalian or Presbyterian to Independent and Catholic to whatever, they were going to church, they were finding no truth in this particular church, and then they would go to another church, but they were still within the confines of the corporate church, and I think that that's what's being described there. But thank you for bringing up those verses, and you are correct that we're living in a time of famine right now. The Bible does refer to this elsewhere, and we can learn from this language, because what was true of God's judgment on the church is now true of God's judgment on the world, because they drank the cup that the world is presently drinking. And that's why the language sounds so similar, because it's the same cup. But thank you once again. Is there another question from Pal Talk?
Not at present.
Okay. Does anyone else have a question or a comment that you'd like to make? If so, please raise your hand and contact us in one of the ways that was outlined earlier. Okay, let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer time.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening, Chris. I really appreciate your studies, and I look forward to them every night. Could you take a look at Daniel 9:24?
Daniel chapter 9:24, which speaks of the 70 weeks. Do you have a question about this verse?
Yes. Is it possible that there could be a slight possibility that we could take this passage literally, because it talks about sealing up the vision and to anoint the most holy, and I was wondering if it's possible that this could be taken literally from May 21st as to when Christ might return.
Well, no, I don't think we can understand it that way, and the reason is that there is nothing here linking it to that particular date. I think some of the language here is interesting, and we never looked at it. Like you mentioned, let me read the verse. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, what's interesting is that the 70 weeks are determined to seal up the vision. And we know that the vision is referring to the Bible. And we also know the Bible was sealed up until the beginning of the Great Tribulation in May of 1988. So that I noticed that recently too, and I've been wondering about that, and I don't understand it. But the thing for us to do is to hold on to the understanding we have that we've learned from Family Radio, because it fits very nicely. And unless we're able to fully comprehend these things and explain them so everything fits just as neatly and answer all the other things in the passage, then we really shouldn't mess with it. That's one way that people get into trouble. They see something that they think relates, like, for instance, in Revelation 11, the two witnesses finish their testimony, and, oh, they think, oh, I know, we finished our testimony on May 21. Well, what they've done is they've compared Scripture to their understanding of what happened on May 21, and I don't think they're intentionally being deceitful about it, but they've been deceived. They have left the Bible, and now they're looking at what they think happened on May 21, and it just brings confusion to the whole passage of Revelation 11. Concerning that passage, what we learned from Family Radio has been correct. And when the two witnesses are killed and lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt, that great city where the Lord was crucified, well, if that's us and if that's May 21, well, what are we doing lying on the streets of the churches? Because the great city identifies with Jerusalem, and so the two witnesses were lying in Jerusalem or outside Jerusalem. And how could that identify with the true believers who, by May 21, had all come out of the churches? It doesn't. And Mr. Camping was correct about that. So I would say the point about sealing up the vision is interesting, and it's something to keep in mind and pray for wisdom and study it privately. And if we ever get to a point of learning more where it fits with everything else or an explanation that explains everything, then we begin sharing it.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for bringing up your question. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Hey, Chris, could you please read Genesis 8, verse 22?
Genesis 8, 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
My question is, I think we can see what this means on an earthly physical level, but this has to have a spiritual meaning. And what I'm wondering about is, seed time is normally the sowing or the planting of the Word of God, and the harvest is the bringing in of true believers. And it says, as long as the earth remains, seed time, which would be the sowing of the seed, and harvest would be the bringing in of true believers. It says, while the earth remains, what's your understanding of this verse spiritually? In light of the door being shut.
Yeah, I understand why people go to this verse. They're trying to see, well, is this God saying, while the earth remains, that we'll be sowing seed and harvesting and so forth? And we have to be careful, because all the rest of the Bible, in an overwhelming way, it's really overwhelming, is pointing to May 21, Judgment Day, the door shutting, the lights in the heavens going dark, the candle goes out, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom is no longer heard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God is driving it home and driving it home and driving it home. Now, I've only heard a couple of verses, a handful, that have been put forth from individuals thinking that God is still saving. Of course, believers have been studying the whole Bible, trying to find if that's possible. But there's really only been a handful put forth, and this is one of the few that gives the appearance that it is possible, and I've been looking at it, and I think we just have to be careful with it. For instance, where it says, while the earth remaineth, the word remaineth is the Hebrew word yom with a kal prefix, which means all days. And so right there, we don't have the word that we think we have. It's a different word. And so we have to carefully go through each word and check it out. So I don't want to try and explain it right now. I've been looking at it and I continue to look at it, but I know this, that when God says that it's judgment day and he likens that to fire and brimstone falling, well, then we're not to sow seed. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, it says in verse 23, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein. And that is the spiritual condition, that the judgment of God, likened to fire and brimstone, is falling on all the earth. And if it were literal fire and brimstone, it would burn up the ground. And you just cannot sow seed when the ground is on fire and burning with fire and brimstone. And God is using that picture to indicate that we're not to bring forth the gospel in the sense of evangelizing the world and giving individuals any sort of idea that he's still saving. Now, it says in Jeremiah 50, in verse 16, now these verses have to be factored in. You can't just go to Genesis 8:22 and not look at everything else. And Jeremiah 50, verse 16, well, starting verse 15, says, shout against her round about. She has given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of Jehovah. Take vengeance upon her as she has done due unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. Now there God is referring to the judgment upon Babylon, and he's saying, cut off the sower. And that's exactly what he has done, and it's what we're living through at this time.
Chris, just so you understand, I'm with you. I agree that the door is shut, he's not saving. However, as a believer, when I come across a verse in the Bible that I don't understand, it stops me dead in my tracks because I fear God. I don't keep going on with the teaching and believing it just because when I see something, it stops me in my tracks.
Well,
I'm not suggesting arguing with you. I'm just saying that.
No, I don't think you are. I'm answering you because I know a lot of people have gone to this verse. This is like the verse, and it's one verse that just takes a little time to work with. And I remember this is almost identical to the situation when we learned about the end of the church age. And there, for many years, we learned from the Bible, and it was taught the church age is over. And how many verses were put forth from individuals that insisted the church age was not over but was continuing? Again, just a handful. And now and then there would be a verse that was difficult. And I remember one in Zechariah 14, the verse 1, I think, where it spoke about Jerusalem, the nations coming against Jerusalem, and half the people being cut off and the other half not being cut off. And someone pointed that out and tried to say, well, you see, there's the believers in Jerusalem. And for a time, that verse was difficult. And then Mr. Camping realized, oh, when God brings judgment on Jerusalem below, the corporate church, the true believers, which belong to Jerusalem above, the eternal church, are not cut off. It's actually a verse indicating the security that God's people have when the Lord brings judgment on the corporate institution. And what I'm saying is that when you see the Bible go in a certain direction, like we saw with the many, many verses supporting the end of the church age, whole books, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so forth, and then you see a couple of verses which apparently teach an opposite thing or a contrary thing, you do slow down. You do pray about it. But you also realize now the weight of the Bible is tremendously in an overwhelming way going in this direction. So I'm sure that the Lord will open up an answer to how this verse fits in. And he did with Zechariah 14. And it could be, like, for instance, seed time and harvest. Well, it doesn't mean that it's presently seed time. It's harvest, we could say. And harvest would identify with summer. It's where it says, and summer and winter, and day and night. It's nighttime because there are 12 hours in the day, and the last hour was the 11th to the 12th hour that God specifically outlines in Matthew 20. And that hour was the time of the great tribulation. And then even has come. So with three of the four elements in that one verse, we could say harvest, summer, and night are now, and they would identify with judgment day. And I haven't been able to uncover cold and heat. But that's what I'm saying, that there is an explanation that fits everything we've been learning. But thank you for bringing up that verse. And let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer time tonight.
Yes. Lindsay1132 asks, could someone have understanding of the scriptures and believe in the truths of the Bible presented by you and Mr. Camping and still be unsaved?
Well, we want to believe in the truths of the Bible. Well, I guess since you said the word presenting, you know, the believers are just instruments of God. Teachers, or if we share truth in any way with another, then God is using us. And I really like that verse when Christ multiplied the bread. He broke the bread, and it's the bread of life, the gospel, representing himself. And he first gives it to his disciples, and then the disciples, it says, he gives to the multitude. And that is how God does it. Now, your question was, could you hear truth from any source? The source doesn't matter, but could you hear truth and agree with it, I think, is what you were asking, and not be a true child of God. And I think the answer is yes. Actually, we know the answer is yes, because there's just been so many people that have heard truth, agreed with truth, down through the years. You just come across and run into so many people, and then there comes a certain truth that enters in and comes along from the Bible. And it is that certain truth that proves that this individual just can't abide it. He can't suffer it. It's a particular truth. You know, God knows us perfectly, and the way he has developed the Bible and the gospel, especially at this time, is that he has designed the truths that he has opened up during the latter rain and during our day. He has designed them to be very humbling, to be extremely humbling. And what's the true nature of man in our natural state? We're very proud. And now that pride latches on to a particular truth, a particular doctrine, maybe not truth, but a particular doctrine, and doesn't want to let go, doesn't want to humble itself, doesn't want to bow the knee. And this has been in evidence with the end of the church age. There, you know, maybe some of you weren't around, but there were a good number of people that listened to family radio and would sing family radio's praises and were in agreement down the line with all sorts of teachings you hear on family radio. And yet when the end of the church age came, that was it. That was too bitter a pill. That was too hard and difficult. That was too humbling. They really liked their church. They had friends there. It was embarrassing to some for them to have to tell friends and pastor and so on, the church age is over. And it, you see, the word of God, the Bible speaks of those that suffer shame for his sake. And that's the nature of the word of God amongst men. Just being a Christian, holding on to basic doctrines, is a shame to the world. Well, amongst Christians, being a Christian, holding on to a doctrine that the rest of Christianity abhors is also a very humbling, shameful thing, where they try to heap shame upon you anyway, and we begin to suffer for the word's sake. And that's how it works. Then pressure is put to bear, and it's not so easy living the Christian life or carrying the cross. And we start to realize it'd be a lot easier if I just stayed in my church. It'd be a lot easier if I just continued to hold on to the doctrine of hell. Then I wouldn't have to experience this scorn from these others that are so convinced there's an eternal place of torment called hell. And it'd be so much easier if I just joined everybody else and said May 21 was nothing. Nothing happened at all. And then I could rekindle fellowship with these others that we have so much in common with. We have many truths that we walked hand in hand with. And you see, that's the same temptation that individuals had to face when they heard about the end of the church age. They also had many things in common with believers who refused that doctrine. And so sometimes it's lonely and can be very difficult path. And so it's not that an unsafe person cannot agree with truth, but we probably could say an unsafe person will not endure truth. That's more accurate. But thank you for that question. And let's go to our last caller tonight. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Hi, Chris. I was just wondering if there was going to be more First Samuel studies posted.
I don't really have anything to do with posting them. you know, I think Bill is just busy with some things, and I'm sure he's working on it. But we're planning on posting everything eventually.
Okay.
Oh, I just got a note from Bill, and he said some have just been posted. So you might want to check the website. Oh, by the way,
up to 59.
Huh?
It's up to 59.
Well, he said he just sent me a Skype message saying some have just been posted. So,
oh, okay.
I think he just posted some. But also, just for everyone's information, Lord willing, September 24th on Sunday, we're going to have a day in the Word at the Delco Fellowship. The complete schedule will have to be announced later, but if you can, you're welcome to, invited and welcome to join us on the fourth Sunday in September. And every fourth Sunday of every following month. So the fourth Sunday in October, November, December, January, Lord willing, for the foreseeable future, we're going to hold a meeting at the Delco Fellowship. But thank you for your question. I'd like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments tonight, and especially for bringing up the Bible verses we had an opportunity to read and consider. Lord willing, we'll have our online fellowship this coming Sunday, 12 p.m. Eastern time until about 2:30. And again, next week, each weeknight, 9 p.m. till 9:30, with the Bible study in 1 Samuel. But for now, I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us His wisdom, and may His perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.